And you can take somebody pretty deep with just a couple of thoughtful, courageous questions. Right? I made the comment earlier in our conversation about, you know, order taking. I grew up in sales. That's not a kind phrase, or at least not where I grew up in my career. And so, you know, the idea of probing and just being courageous, being thoughtful, but asking questions to say, look, I understand this is urgent and important. Help me understand how this connects back to what we agreed at the start was the mission, you know, the vision, the goals, et cetera. Like, you know, I'm coming back to my home base as an executive coach of values and purpose. This decision and the way that we're having this conversation feels like you're acting from an emotional reactive kind of state, or that you're in pressure and this is, you know, the first thing that shows up.
Welcome to the Future Ready Advisor Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Sivarajan, wealth management consultant and behavioral scientist. Join me and my guests, from industry experts to top advisors, as we explore the pain points that financial advisors face, how they can solve them, free up their time, and make their practice future ready. Hi, everyone. I'm Sam Sivarajan. Welcome to today's episode of the Future Ready Advisor. Today, I'm here with Alex Bunyan, an executive coach who is here to talk about how coaching can build both meaningful relationships and deliver desired results. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Pleased to be here.
Delighted to have you. Let me quickly introduce you to our audience. Alex is a partner and head of the leadership practice at Massey Henry, a leading executive search, leadership, coaching, and talent assessment firm, exclusively serving the North American financial services sector. He's an executive coach working with senior leaders and business owners who want more out of work and life. He's a thoughtful contributor to discussions about getting unstuck, crystallizing one's objectives, aligning those objectives to values and purpose, and intentionally setting about to achieve them. Alex, I'm really excited to dive in and to see how some of this insight and knowledge can help financial advisors with their practice. So maybe we can start with you sharing a little bit about your practice and your philosophy.
Yeah, I'm happy to start there. And thank you for that introduction, Sam. In terms of my practice, it's evolved over time. When I started my practice, left corporate and really launched myself fully both feet into executive coaching, late 2019, just before the pandemic started. And in the beginning, my practice was fairly focused around supporting and coaching executives and leaders who were pretty unfulfilled in their current careers. They knew that they wanted more, but they didn't really know what more looked like. And they certainly weren't really clear on where to start on making that change or, you know, moving down that path. So the early days, the way that that manifested in my practice was that it was a lot of senior leaders and corporate folks who were really looking for a new job or some kind of career change in some way, shape, or form. They knew, you know, they knew that what they were in was good, but not good for them in the longer term. And so that was, you know, 3.5-4 years ago now, which is wild to hear that out loud. But where my practice has really shifted towards today, finding fulfillment and purpose in work is still absolutely at the core. It's a foundational piece of my work and of my philosophy around coaching. But where my practice has shifted towards is helping ambitious executives to break through to that next level. But a lot of my practice is really supporting people who have already achieved a level of success and aspire to that next level, aspire to more success as a way to amplify the impact that they're able to have in their world, you know, to the people around them, to their families, to their friends, to their team, to their organizations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a bit of a glimpse of what the practice sort of looks like today. In terms of maybe just a glimpse into how I work with folks in that, in the practice, and a bit of the philosophy piece, as I said, you know, helping executives to lead and live by design, not by default. So really looking for and connecting fulfillment and purpose into your work. And a lot of that, Sam, starts by going pretty deep with a client into values and purpose in those first early, session two or maybe even three of a new engagement. Sort of a reintroducing you to you kind of an approach. Part of the reason that I start there is that everybody comes into coaching with some goal or problem or something that they're looking to crack, right? That they haven't been able to do on their own without support. That forms the overarching agenda across every coaching engagement.
I think that's a very good point. And I think this is where I see the parallels between what you do and in many ways what a financial advisor does. In effect, I've always said a good financial advisor is the coach to their clients. So when you talk about your clients, they come in and you kind of spend time to dig deeper into their values and purposes they have, come to you with a goal, with an objective, seeking clarity. That is very similar to what clients typically go to a financial advisor for. They have a problem. They're looking for clarity. They're looking for a solution. And it seems that where you start, like digging deep to get that sense of values, purposes, to introduce the client to themselves, as you said, is an interesting approach.
Yeah.
Maybe can you dive a little bit deeper to give a little bit more color as to what that looks like, that diving deeper? Like, what is the format? What is the framework of questions that you might ask? How is that interaction looking like between you and your client?
Yeah, I agree with you about the parallels between a financial advisor or any kind of an advisor and my approach. And I actually think that in a lot of ways, advisory is advisory. And yes, there's a specific thing that you deliver in your version of advisory, but advisory is about really connecting with the people, providing counsel, being their, their trusted person that they call when, when they're in a place of need or a place of confusion and needing clarity. So certainly I agree with you around the parallels there. In terms of what that looks like for me, it's a fairly standardized kind of an approach. I mean, it's unique to each individual because the answers and the conversation is unique to each person, but the approach is not dissimilar from, what I would term an intake meeting with a new client for a financial advisor, right? This is really about getting to know the person that I'm engaging with as a person, not just as, another client in my portfolio or as another mandate that I'm helping to deliver on. What are you trying to solve for? How have you not been successful in achieving that thing or cracking that problem on your own to this point? What's getting in your way? There's a lot of really sort of personal probing, deep questioning involved in this. And then, asking the questions is one thing, but really, I think where that rubber meets the road is when you're sitting back and really paying attention and listening deeply to the answer, to what's being said, but also even more importantly, I find to what's not being said, right? And so really trying to listen and read between the lines, because I suspect this is true for your audience, but when you're meeting somebody for the first time, you haven't had the benefit of building trust in the relationship over multiple conversations, multiple contact points. So you're really in this place of feeling each other out, establishing the relationship and setting yourself up together for how do we want to work together. In terms of what that looks like, as I said, there's a lot of pretty deep probing questions, right? I send out a pre-meeting questionnaire with a bit of a guiding sort of framework to it around what am I looking to understand? And that helps my clients to do the thinking beforehand. So I'm not asking them deep, meaningful questions and expecting them to have polished answers, because none of us are for an advisor. It's about understanding the goals, what brought you here, what's been working, what's not been working, what are you looking to accomplish? And then trying to really understand where and how I can add value and move the client together in that direction of really unlocking that thing.
As you were talking, Alex, I was nodding along because I totally mm-hmm. see the parallel. I think you're trying to understand the personality behind the problem. And I think that in the case of a financial advisor, I think the key is to understand the person behind the portfolio or the policy. And part of that is being able to understand what are the values, what are the priorities, what are the preferences. Because the reality is, in your line of work or in the financial advisor's work, I mean, we live in a world where resources are finite, whether that's money, whether that's time. And so trade-offs need to be made. And part of what I think you're helping your clients understand is where those trade-offs need to occur and why they're being made. They're being consciously made instead of just made automatically. And I think it's the same thing for a financial advisor, like choosing multiple goals. They're all worthwhile, but you may not be able to do all of them, or maybe not all at the same time. So how do you make that trade-off or prioritize in a way that makes long-term sense to that client and that is consistent with their values? So I'm totally in agreement with you.
Sam, one thing that you just said there that really resonates with me is the idea of being really conscious in making those decisions and making those trade-offs. And that's absolutely at the core of, you know, partnering with clients, whether it's me as an executive coach, an advisor with their clients. It's really about being deliberate and getting really clear on this is what matters most. And so we're going to make decisions that really take us towards that guiding North Star, if you want to call it that. But the intentionality piece of what you just said, that I'd echo that 100 days in a row. Absolutely.
No, and the North Star, I think you and I are in complete agreement. I know that you work, Alex, with many business owners, including financial advisors. I mean, it is a competitive market. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's got to be challenging, confusing, and oftentimes frustrating journey. So how do you work with your clients, specifically with your financial advisor clients, to navigate this journey? Yeah. Like when the going gets tough, how is it that you're there to help them kind of think through what it is, their North Star again, and what keeps them going?
Yeah. Yeah, you're certainly right, Sam, about the entrepreneurship journey being all of those things and all wrapped up in a pretty messy package most of the days. One thing that I'd add actually to that is just when you add the stress and pressure of earning a living, providing for your family, you know, all of the things that are true to entrepreneurs, it's not just about delivering for your clients, but then there's this whole other dimension to it. That can make for a really distracting environment. And it's really easy in my experience, personally and supporting clients, it's really easy to get sucked into the weeds and spend days or weeks or more working in your business, right? Working on things that are just right in front of you, you know, putting out fires or bailing water out of your boat rather than working on your business, right? Patching the hole instead of bailing with a bucket. It's really easy to just move through the motions, right? Going from meeting to meeting on autopilot without the intentionality that we were just talking about. And I find this shows up a lot with my clients. I find that it's really easy in that place to lose touch and to lose sight of why you got into this career in the first place. And so, you know, if I think about what a typical engagement, a coaching engagement with any of my clients, but certainly with advisors, looks like, is it tends to take this wave-like shape over time, right? It's a series of peaks and troughs and peaks and troughs. And so certainly one of the ways that I help my clients to navigate this messy, challenging, often frustrating journey is just helping them keep really crystal clear on what their goals are, why they came into this career in the first place. You know, when a client's in that trough, in that swirl of the challenge and confusion and frustration, my first job really is to just bring them back and to bring the conversation back to why, right? There's value, of course, in allowing people some space to vent and swirl and, you know, have a moment. But really job one for me, if that's the place, if we're in trough, job number one for me is to be the guy up in the crow's nest who can still see the calm water on the other side of all these waves. it breaks that swirl long enough for us to shift perspective a little bit or to get in there and to have a meaningful conversation and start to untie and unpackage some of those, you know, those challenging things or whatever it is that's got them tied up in knots in the moment. And so, you know, in terms of other ways, for many of my advisor clients specifically, my role is really a mix of hats, right? I'm one part thought partner, one part accountability partner, one part sounding board and sanity check. But often my role becomes flexing and responding to whatever part of that wave trough journey they're in that moment, helping to find clarity, helping them to make good decisions that are aligned to their values and to their purpose and to their why. If they come in and they're in the trough and they're swirling, at the end of the session, I want them to be at least clear enough on action step number one, what's most important in this moment, what is in my control, and what can I do with this?
Again, I think the parallels are huge, right? I think to your point, I think a lot of advisors would do goals-based planning or goals-based investing, which is, why are you investing? Again, similar to your coaching practice, asking why. And to remind the troughs in the entrepreneurial journeys, like the troughs in the market, when the market drops, et cetera, and clients or investors are panicking, the job of a good advisor is to kind of remind the client, as the crow's nest, as you talked about, or the eagle's nest that you talked about, to be able to see the clear water and say, I've been through this before. I know that this is a scary time, but it's going to work out. And let me remind you that we sort of anticipated this kind of choppy waters as part of the journey. And this is what we said that we were going to do. Has anything changed? And I think the as you are to your coaching clients, I think advisors are to their clients to be able to be a part, as you say, wear different hats, be part thought leader, educating them on markets or particular investments, but at the same time being a sounding board and in some cases being that coach or that ground that you have that brings them back to, here's why we're doing this. Yeah. Here's what you wanted to do. Here's why this is still working for us. Let's work through together an action plan that you can walk away from here that is going to give you comfort to get you through to clear water, right?
Yeah. Sam, it strikes me hearing you talk and sort of riffing off of this together, that wave shape kind of relationship over time, that must hold true for your audience and for their clients, right? So what I find in terms of just meeting my clients where they are, wherever they are on that, you know, continuum of wave shape, how you show up and hold space in those meetings, you know, you're doing that differently if somebody's in a trough than you are if they're at the peak, right? The energy is different. The priorities in the moments are different. Just the way that they're showing up and the way that you need to show up to meet them where they are is really important in this. And so, you know, I would suggest that this ability to flex and to meet them, you know, meet your clients where they are, that's absolutely crucial for advisors. I have to imagine that. And not true in my case, but when you add now the sensitivity of money to the relationship, I think that just amplifies this ability to flex and to be the calm waters, if you will, or that calming influence. That just amplifies that and makes it even more important. I have to believe that. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I totally agree. And I think it's a great segue to a question that I have is this ability to flex and adapt and respond in the right way to a client in the particular circumstances, as you said, whether they're at the peak of the wave or the trough of the wave. So it requires different approaches, different mindsets, different types of questions and roles to play. I always term this as being a behavioral coach for the client to help them moderate their behavior. If they're riding too high, to make sure that they don't get scorched. If they're falling too low, to be able to pull them up. So I think that particularly in the financial advisory space, a key differentiator going forward is that the financial advisors need to be this behavioral coach for the client. So it's not about just educating them about their portfolio, but helping the clients help themselves stay disciplined until the clear water comes in. So as a coach, and again, drawing on the parallels, how would you advise financial advisors to approach this? This flex, being mindful, being able to switch, if necessary, to build an arsenal of skills and training or experiences to be able to manage these situations. Do you have any thoughts or advice?
Yep, I definitely do. I think, you know, this is going to sound really, really simplified, and it probably is, but doing a good job of managing, you know, your client's money or their portfolio, like that's table stakes. So to your point, this role is more than just advising them and educating them around their portfolio. This is about managing their emotions, managing all of the swing that we all move through across a typical week in life. And so, yeah, you have to be a competent advisor and good at the thing, but that's not what keeps clients with you for, you know, years or for generations in some cases. The ability to really meet them as a true advisor, not an order taker, I just to do what you tell me and I, you know, I try and advise a little bit, but to really meet and challenge them. And that, to me, that starts on, you know, day one or pre-day one of the relationship. I think there's implications to how you structure, you know, a first meeting. I think there's implications here to how you portray, you know, your ideal client and your fit and who you are and how you show up and what your value proposition is. You know, I think setting the relationship up for success is critical in this. So doing that work up front, my experience with this is consistently doing this up front and in every interaction will build trust. And that will earn you the right over time to have the uncomfortable, hard conversation of saying to your client with all the, you know, heart and care in the world, you're making a bad decision. That's a scary conversation to have with your client, right? Like, you know, we're advisors. Ultimately, our clients are going to make the decisions that they're going to make, whether we're there, whether we're right, whether we're wrong, that's irrelevant. They're going to make the decisions that they're going to make. Part of our role is to be the voice of reason during high stress, right? To be the objectively removed, but still close enough that we care kind of, you know, counselor in their pocket, right? It's our job to speak the truths that our clients need to hear, they need to know, but they don't want to hear. And so, you know, in terms of how to build them, because I think your the two part of your question there was, how do we help them build these skills or, you know, advice on where and how. As self-serving as this is going to sound, Sam, get a coach or a somebody in your corner, you know, whether that's me or somebody like me, whether that's a mentor, you know, somebody that you've trained under, grew up under, somebody in your corner, get somebody. Because the first thing that really is critical in this is having enough self-awareness and the space to recognize our own strengths and our own development areas around these skills. And that takes an outside point of view, right? Somebody who can see you and call you out on things and also call you up on things that you could be better at, that you could develop and focus around. You know, the second reason that I say get a coach, self-serving as that sounds, is I was talking to an advisor client of mine last week, knowing that I was coming on the show today, and he shared something with me that, you know, I know to be true through anecdotal feedback, but it just struck me, you know, being so timely in this conversation. His experience of working with a coach or somebody like this allows for him to, you know, take on, emulate, and recreate his own versions of some of the things that we do together when I'm coaching with him, when I'm, you know, when I'm his sounding board. And so there's this element and this aspect of learning by doing, working with a coach or with a person, and then taking that experience and applying it to your clients.
Yeah, I think to your point that the skills themselves are probably in the toolbox of most of us that have grown up. If you're married, if you have kids, mm-hmm. you have a successful marriage mm-hmm. and successful kids, you've built some of those skills in your toolbox. But I think you're right. You need an opportunity to be able yeah. to practice it and mm-hmm. apply it in the context. Yeah. And whether it's a coach, whether it's a mentor, however it is, I think those are opportunities to do it. So maybe very quickly, as a follow-up to that, all of this takes time. And I think you touched on the fact that advisors, the one thing they lack, rightly yeah. so, is time because yeah. of all of the other demands on their time, whether it's compliance, whether it's administration. So, and in fact, their clients, in many cases, yeah. are coming to them for an immediate solution. I need X, I need Y. So what would you say to an advisor yeah. that says, you know what, this yeah. coaching yeah. is... sounds great, getting deep into it with my client. I want to do that, but I don't really have the luxury of being able to do that. What would you say to that?
I know that that is such a common challenge. That's a legitimate thing to be raising. Look, what I would say to it is I wholeheartedly disagree. Now, Sam, I recognize, I agree that time is the single biggest constraint for any advisor, for any business owner, for any entrepreneur. What I disagree with is the idea that practicing or implementing a coach-like approach or, you know, a behavioral coaching style needs to be this cumbersome, burdensome time commitment. I don't buy that. You know, our clients come to us for immediate solutions. That's real. I know that. I could make the argument that providing that immediate solution, just addressing the surface need that they show up with, is missing a huge opportunity, right? Like, we're only addressing the thing on the surface. We're not taking the 2 minutes to ask two questions to go deeper and really understand the question or the concern or the need that's driving that thing. Here's what I would say, Sam. The immediate solution is almost never the best solution, in my experience. You know, agree or disagree, that's my experience of it. And you can take somebody pretty deep with just a couple of thoughtful, courageous questions. Right? I made the comment earlier in our conversation about, you know, order taking. I grew up in sales. That's not a kind phrase, or at least not where I grew up in my career. And so, you know, the idea of probing and just being courageous, being thoughtful, but asking questions to say, look, I understand this is urgent and important. Help me understand how this connects back to what we agreed at the start was the mission, you know, the vision, the goals, et cetera. Like, you know, I'm coming back to my home base as an executive coach of values and purpose. This decision and the way that we're having this conversation feels like you're acting from an emotional, reactive kind of state, or that you're in pressure and this is, you know, the first thing that shows up. My job is to protect you from you in a lot of ways. And so we can do whatever you want me to do at the end of this call, but we need to take 5 more minutes here and really unpack why this decision. Does this align with what you had said to me and what we agreed at the start of our relationship mattered to you? Is this in alignment with where you want, you know, your portfolio to be going? Is this a smart decision? Like, there are so many, I would say, meaningful and simple questions to just pause, slow down, and unpack for a minute.
I think that's a great way of putting it. It is just pause and reflect. And it's Viktor Frankl that said that between stimulus and response, there is a space. And I think in this context, you are saying that you as a coach or a financial advisor as a coach is that you're becoming that space that is allowing them with a well-placed pause, with a well-placed simple question, with tying it back to what were their original goals, values, or priorities, you're just reminding them that they don't have to respond immediately to the stimulus, right? It might still be the right answer.
It might.
But use that second to reflect and think and decide with your rational brain that your gut or your initial instinct or response is the right one, that you're comfortable with it for the long run.
At the start of every coaching session that I hold with a client, regardless of whether that client is an advisor or from corporate or from some other walk of life, we talk about what's your topic for today, right? What's the thing that we want to unpack and be coaching around? And in my mind, especially true when somebody shows up in sort of a heightened state, or they're having a tough day and the stress is high and they've got 50 things and some of them big, I know in my mind, I know that the actual topic, the actual thing that my clients are really looking to try and solve or crack, is almost never the thing they say. It's inevitably always two or three layers under that. And often they just don't have the language to articulate it in that moment, or they don't have the clarity on, it's this thing down here, but it's presenting as this thing up here, and that's what I've brought. I have to assume that that's true when an advisor's client calls up and says, I need to make a major change, right? Or like, I need you to buy or sell. I need you to make some changes here to my portfolio. I have to believe that there's going to be something deeper, a couple layers down, that's driving that. And as we're talking here, I'm just reminded one of my coaches that I've worked with in the past used to talk a lot about having the courage to be fired as a differentiator, as a thing that would really add value and keep you top of mind and keep that trust that you've worked hard to build in the relationship. I hold that to be really true, and that inspires a whole lot of the way I coach. But having the courage to ask the hard question or to say the thing that is scary to say to a client, but have the courage to be fired and stand on, my role here is to give you the best advice and to protect you from yourself in heightened moments like this one. Let's talk about what the decision should be and then sleep on it, right? Or take 5 minutes and call me back.
Yeah. I always used to say that when I had investment counselors on my team, I said the job of an advisor is to be the advisor. I used to say that to some very large billionaire clients as well. I'd say, like, look, I hope that we can be friends, but at the end of it, if I have to choose, I have to do my job and be an advisor and advise you as to what I think. You may choose to ignore it. That's okay. Yeah. I've done my job in advising you. Now, look, Alex, I think we could have another hour for this conversation, but we are coming to the end. I would love perhaps to have part two of this as another session that we might have you back to explore some of these concepts a little deeper, because I do think it's highly relevant to the future of financial advice. But to close off today's session, I have a few final rapid fire questions for you, if I might, as I ask all our guests. So if you're ready, the first one is, professionally, what is the most important lesson you've learned over the years?
Ooh, bet on yourself. Have the courage of your convictions to bet on yourself and to trust yourself. To for the big decisions, for the big moments, like you want the ball when the clock is counting down. I'd say that pops the list in terms of a rapid fire response for you.
That's good advice. I think we can all learn to bet on ourselves a bit more. I think we've earned the right after years of experience of doing what we do. So the second one is, what is one practical tip you would offer listeners keen on applying your insights?
Get a coach. I know how self-serving that sounds, Sam, and I won't deny that it is. The success of my clients comes, yes, because they're talented people, we're talented and we're good at what we do. And having somebody in your corner who is removed enough to be objective and to be unattached to your decisions, to the results, to the outcome, somebody in your corner that doesn't have an agenda or skin in the game for you, that has been powerful in my own career journey. That has been powerful for clients that I've worked with and clients of friends of mine and coach colleagues in the community. Whether it's a coach, a mentor, a therapist, like there are so many versions of the helper archetype. Get somebody in your corner who can play that role for you, because we can't do it ourselves. Like there's too much to do to be, all on our own. So we need support, right? I mean, I don't want to steal a line from people way more musically talented than me, but we get by with a little help from our friends.
That's great. We haven't had a Beatles reference in this.
I think I just aged myself there too.
It's okay. I think it's perfectly fitting for the audience. So last but not least, any parting words of advice for listeners?
We're in service. We're in a service industry. We are people in service. And this is certainly true for me, and it's true for people that I work with. The reason we've gone into these professions is to make an impact. And yeah, there's a commercial financial, sort of reward for us. But what I find to be broadly true is that we are helpers. And so that is a privileged place to be. And it's also a challenging place to be, because I find we often will put ourselves second to, in service of our clients, in service of others, we will often put ourselves second. So, I guess what I would say to that, Sam, is manage yourself, manage and give yourself permission to take breaks and to recharge and to, you can't be in service 100% of the time. And I'll sort of come back to words that I found myself saying an awful lot at the start of the pandemic, which is, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so, yeah.
I like that. And I would use an analogy that I hear on the plane all the time. First, you put on the oxygen mask before you help others. The whole point being, if you're not there, you can't help others. So, and I think it works, the analogy works in the helping profession as well. Like if you need to be in good physical and mental and emotional condition to be of any value to your clients. So I think that's a great piece of it. Alex, this has been immensely fun. As I said, the time has just flown by. I think it's a great conversation. I think it's a timely conversation with lots of insight and impact. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam. I've been, this has been fun, and I'm flattered and pleased to have been able to join and to speak to you and to your audience today. This has been great. And you volunteered. There might have to be a part two. I may hold you to that.
Well, we'll certainly have you on board. In the interim, if listeners want to learn more about you or find out about your work, where do they go?
So the easiest place, because there are not a lot of Alex Bunyans in the world, is LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect and be of service, speaking of that we're in a service profession. So LinkedIn is a great first stop. Certainly the Massey Henry website is a good place. It's just masseyhenry.com, masseyhenry.com, or by email if you want to just direct outreach and LinkedIn isn't your cup of tea, alex.bunyan@masseyhenry.com.
Awesome. Again, Alex, great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. We'll talk to you again soon.
In today's episode, I spoke with Alex Bunyan, an executive coach. To me, there are parallels in the approach that Alex takes with his coaching clients and the approach that future-ready advisors take with their clients. Here are my key takeaways from my conversation with Alex. Number one, deep engagement and understanding. Alex emphasizes the importance of personal probing, deep questioning, and listening between the lines to understand clients deeply, echoing the essence of advisory work. This, to me, is a critical feature of the Future Ready Advisor, the ability to conduct a deep discovery. Number two, maintaining perspective and clarity. Alex assists clients in navigating the peaks and troughs of their entrepreneurial journey by keeping them aligned with their goals, values, and purpose, even during challenging moments. Advisors need to do the same with their clients, helping them manage through the challenges and obstacles facing them in their business, personal, or investing goals. Number three, navigating complexity and emotions. Alex emphasizes the role of an advisor in managing emotions and helping clients navigate decisions beyond managing portfolios. Here, asking the deep questions and probing deeper allows advisors to get to the root of the feelings and emotions that are at play for the client. Helping clients navigate their own emotions in dealing with their goals will make it easier for them to reach successful outcomes and make the advisor a trusted partner. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Future Ready Advisor. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if you could rate it while you're at it, I would appreciate it. Visit samsivarajan.com where you can download a behavioral coaching guide and find other resources. Join me in the next episode for more tips and tools to make your practice future ready.